Begin the current daf, Maseches Baba Kama, daf Memvav. Begin on the second line down for the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara concludes the halacha from our Mishnah. And that is, as Rashi said in the Mishnah, that there was a three-way machloikis in our Mishnah regarding the halacha of Ishur Hamud. According to Reb Meir, if someone does what's called a Shemir Pechus, a lower-level safeguarding of his shar, of his ox, which is that it could withhold a regular type of a wind, but not an abnormal type of a wind, then he's going to be liable. But if he does a Shemir Me'ula, which is a really high level of watching, then if it goes and gores, he's going to be exempt. According to Yehuda, even by Shemir Pechus, even if he does a lower level Shemir by Ashur Amud, he's going to be exempt. Whereas according to Eliezer, which is the part that our Gemara quotes over here, Belazo Eimer, he says, Ein Lei Shemira, there is no available option of safeguarding for the Shur Hamud, Elasakin, only a knife. The only way is to go ahead and slaughter the animal, because when it's alive, no matter how you're going to watch it, if it goes out and it gores, the owner of the Shur Hamud is going to be liable. Explains the Gemara, Amar Rabba, says, my time of the Rebbe Elazar. What's the reason of Rebbe Elazar? Why is it that he holds, what's his source, that no safeguarding will protect the liability of the owner? So says Rabbah, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, and we're going to explain how Rebbe Elazar interprets the Pasuk. The Pasuk is in Shemais Chafalaf Lamed Vav. It says, Oy noide kishar nargachu, or if it's going to be notified to the owner that this is an ox that gores, mitmol shulsham, the day before and the day before that, it already gored three times. Says the Pasuk V'lo Yishmeranom, which Rebbe Elazar interprets to mean to say, and now he cannot watch it anymore, meaning, Shuv Ein L'Shmir L'Zeh. It doesn't help anymore. Watching is not going to do it anymore. And therefore, even if you do a Shmir Me'ula, it's not going to exempt the owner from liability. Now, that interpretation of Rabbah for Rebbe Elazar's halacha asks Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to him, Elamiata, if that's the way you're interpreting the words V'lo Yishmerano, which generally could be interpreted as, and he didn't watch it, now after it became a Shur Hamud, now he's going to be liable for Nezek Shalom. Rabbah interpreted for Rebbe Elazar, no, it means, and now he can't watch it anymore. It's not going to help anymore. Ask Abaye, if that's the case, then the previous Pasuk, which was told on one of the other Mazikim, that of Bar, where the Pasuk there is in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it opens up by saying, V'chiyiftach ish bar, if a man will open up a pit, oy ki yichra ish bar, or if he will dig a pit, says the Pasuk, V'lo yichasenu, and he won't cover it, which again, generally that would be interpreted as, and he didn't cover it, okay, now there's going to be liability. But the way you interpreted V'lo yishmirenu, asks Abaye, so, Nami shuv in lekis lezeh, so you'd be interpreting the halach here mean to say that it won't help anymore to cover it. Which, because that's the same like you said, b'levi shemirano. And says Abaye, v'chitema hachinam, and if you're going to entertain, yes, it's the same thing. Once a person dug a pit or uncovered a pit, it doesn't help anymore to cover it. There's no more exemption that you could have for liability. But it says Abaye, but it's not. But we learn the Mishnah, which is brought later on in the Beis Hamidrash, that says, kisohu kuro, if someone had dug a pit and he covered it appropriately, and still, even though he covered it appropriately, an ox or a donkey fell and a dog potter, he is exempt. We see that covering it is an exemption. But according to your interpretation of B'lo Yishmerenu, B'lo Yichasenu should mean the same thing, that it doesn't help to cover it, and yet we see covering does help. So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye says a different interpretation but the source of Rebbe Elazar. It says, Hayin Tam of Rebbe Elazar Kedetanya. The reasoning for the halacha of Rebbe Elazar is, why does he learn B'lo Yishmerenu, meaning that you cannot watch it anymore? We see from B'lo Yichasenu doesn't mean you cannot, it means you did not. Is that the reason here by Shur that is different than Bar is based on the following halacha we learn in the Braisa. Reb Nosson Eimer, he says, Minayin Shalei Gadol Odom Kelev Ra B'Toch Beis. Where do we know that a person should not bring up to have in his house a bad dog in his house, meaning a dog that is harmful, that damages? And also, Vayamitzulim Ru B'Toch Beis, that a person should not have a shaky ladder in his house. You shouldn't have things that cause damage in your property. Like it says in the Pasuk in the Varm, you should not place blood in your house. That's related to the halacha over there brought by a Makkah, that you have to have a fence around your roof that no one should fall off. You shouldn't have dangerous, liable things in your household. And therefore, what says Abaye, what Rebbe Elazar holds the same thing is, by Shur Hamazik, a Shur Hamud, this is a gored type of an ox. Now, you'll try to watch it. You'll try to do whatever it is that you could, but you should not maintain. That's why Rebbe Elazar learns lo yishmerenu, here means lo yikamenu. You should not hold on to it. In other words, watching is not going to help, and you're going to be liable. Whereas Tosfos wonders, what do you mean? What's the difference then between the halacha of Bar, that you could cover it, and why by Shur can you not be shomer it? Bar should have the same halacha of Reb Nosson. And that Tosfos says that no, by a pit, it definitely helps. If you cover it, so that's going to neutralize the masik component. Whereas a sharnachin, even if you're going to wash it, it's still a wild animal and it gores, and therefore it fits into the pasuk of that leisasim damim beveisecha. And therefore, even if you did wash it, you're going to be liable for the damages. And that's why he was learning leishmeren. That means to say that you can't wash it; it's not going to help anymore, and you're always going to be liable according to Belazer by halacha of a sharmud. Turn to you, the fourth parak of Masechtas Baba Kama, parak Shor Shenogach, Dalet Vehei. And with that, we begin the fifth parak in Masechtas Baba Kama, parak Shor Shenogach Es Hapar, which continues, obviously, as the first words of this Mishnah connote the halachas of Shor Shenogach, of the mazik of Shor, when it gores with its horns. Now, additionally, it introduces a new concept relating to the halachas, incidental to Karen, which is the halachas of Safik. When there's a doubt regarding the hezik, what's going to be the halacha? So the Mishnah opens up, Shor Shenogach Es Hapar. So if you have an ox, they gored a cow. Now, v'nimtza ubra. Now, it was found, the fetus, and it was dead, b'tzida, on the side of the cow. Now, says the Mishnah, v'en yedua im atcha lo yinog chiyolda. Now, it wasn't known if it was if before it was gored, it had already given birth, meaning, in other words, it had miscarried on its own, and it didn't die because of the goring, or it gave birth because of the goring. In other words, the goring had caused the cow to miscarry and caused the death of the fetus. So essentially, we don't know if the death of the fetus was natural before it was gored, because we just see now, after everyone comes running, what happened? Your ox gored the cow. Look, on the side, there's a dead fetus. What happened? I don't know. Maybe it was before. Maybe it miscarried a few moments before the goring, or maybe the goring caused the miscarriage. So says the Mishnah, so Mishal Machatzi Nezik Lepar, so the owner of the ox has to pay half the amount of the damages for the cow, Revia Nezik Levad, and a quarter of the damages for the fetus. Now the reason is because since it's a sure time, it's from the first few times that it gored, so the liability for the cow, which it definitely gored, is Chayiv Chatzi Nezik. Now, the child, the fetus, is what's called suffix. There's a doubt. We don't know if that death was caused through the shor or not. And therefore, the halach is, as we'll see in the Gemara, mamon amutu b'safik, when you have money which is in doubt, it's the halach is going to be chalk and you split it. So the halach of chatzi nezik, which would apply if the ox was the one that killed the fetus, that half a nezik is split into half, which makes it a liability, the law, half of quarter to the mazik, half to the nizik, meaning that he has to, now a quarter of the nezik is owned to the nizik, to the damaged party for the vlad. Says the Mishnah, the same thing works in the reverse. If you have a cow that gored an ox, the nimtza vlad the betzida, now you find the child, the fetus, dead on the side of the cow. In other words, the mazik and nizik was just switched. The shor in the first case gored the cow, and now the cow in this case gored the ox. Now, if ain't you do it, now it's not known. If it had already been born, the fetus, before its mother cow had gored the ox, or in mishanach yalda, maybe actually because the mother cow gored the ox, actually the fetus was in the cow at that time, and because of the, maybe due to the impact of goring the ox, actually that's when the child then came out. So you don't know if it was part of the, it was party to the mazik or not. So says the Mishnah, here also, same idea. Mishtalim chatzin nezik min apar. So half the damages could be collected from the cow, revi nezik min ha-vlad, and a quarter of the damages are collected from the child, meaning you don't know if it was the mazik or not. If it was a mazik, so then it has to pay chatzin nezik. If it's not a mazik, so then it's totally exempt. It had nothing to do. I was already born before the mother cow had gored you the ox. Which the Gemara is actually going to explain. This seems a little difficult because we're talking about a shor tam. A shor tam only has to pay chatzin nezik total. And here you want to collect half of the damages from the mother, which is already all of it. And why are you collecting another quarter from the vlad? So the Gemara will explain that difficulty. Again, the primary concept is whether it's the nizik or the mazik, this fetus, we don't know. And therefore it's going to be chalka, and you're going to split whatever it is that it's owed or owes in half. Now, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, he says, Zud divri sumchas. The halacha of our Mishnah is the pin of sumchas. The amad that he says, mamon hamutl besafik cholkin, money that's placed in doubt, we don't know what happened, so then it's going to split. But the sages say, zeklah godol bedin, this is a big halachic concept that relates to law, which is Hamoitzi Mechaveiro Olav Arai. If someone wants to collect, take away something from his friend, it's incumbent upon him the onus for the proof. And therefore, regarding both halachas, the reisha and the sefer, the halacha is going to be that, let's say in the reisha, the ox is going to be exempt from the vlad. I don't know if my ox gored your cow. The fetus, we don't know if it was born before or after. So therefore, you have to bring proof. Same thing in the other way. When the cow had gored the ox, the owner of the ox has to prove that the fetus was not born yet to be able to collect. The Simchus doesn't hold this halach, the Chacham don't hold that it's going to be chalken. Rather, the one who wants to collect from the other one would have to prove that the fetus was whether born or not born at that time. Now, the Gemara just asks, Lomeli Lameimer Zekhal Godel Bedin, why was it important to say in the halacha of the Chacham that this is a huge concept in law? Just say, but the Chacham say, Hamitza Mechaber Olavaraya. So the Gemara says, no, Itzrich, it was necessary because it was coming to say the extent of this halacha. Even if the damaged party says, I'm definite, it's clear to me. I saw that, let's say, my cow that was gored, the fetus wasn't born yet. I saw it pop out after the ox had gored. And the damager, the owner, the ox says, maybe, I don't know. That's what you're saying. I don't know. Maybe that's not what happened. He's not saying bari. He's not saying for sure I know not. He's saying, I don't know. Still, hold on. The one who wants to take away money from his friend, the onus of the proof is on him. Where although generally if one guy's definite and the other one's maybe, so you say, okay, he's definite, for sure we should believe him. But on that says the Gemara that the halacha Shmuel was saying over the name of a Chacham was saying, Klal Gadol, no, it's a very huge concept. If a guy wants to take away something, wants to collect, he has to bring proof. It's not enough that he's a Bari and the Mazik is a Shema. Or Inami, another approach. Why does it have to say Klal Gadol B'din? L'chiha de'idma, regarding the following halacha. Hamoich Esher L'chaveir. Someone sells an ox to his friend, and then the purchaser has it for a few days, and they realize this ox is a crazy ox. This ox is goring everything. So it turns out this was a gore type of an ox. So it was a machlekes. Rav Amahariz Mekechtois. Rav says, so this is an erroneous purchase. What is this? I needed an ox to work for me. It's not doing work for me, it's causing me all these types of problems. This avoided purchase, I get my money back. Ushmul Amah, he says, no. Yochel Sheyoyim Eloi, the seller could tell the purchaser, L'shchita mechartav loch, I sold you this ox for slaughter purposes. In other words, the chiddush of Shmuel's halacha is, even though the purchaser could say in halacha that you go after the majority, and the majority of people that purchase ox and they purchase it for plowing purposes, and therefore, like Rav had said, it's a mekach tois, it's a mistaken acquisition, this is not going to work for an ox to plow, that's what says Shmuel, the Chacham, are coming to teach us. And this is the purpose of the Klal Gadol, that since the meicher, the seller, already has the monies from the consumer, so now the consumer, the purchaser, wants to be meitzi mechaveir. He wants to get his money back from the seller. Allah v'ray, it's on him that's incumbent to bring proof. That Shmuel's halacha, his opinion, who he disagrees with Rav, he's the one that said over this halacha of the Chacham. That's why the second pshat in the Gemara is saying that that's the Klal Gadol, to say that even though essentially, you should really go acha harayv, after the majority, and the majority sell it for plowing, and for that it definitely would be a mekach tois, like Rav says. On that, Shmuel says that no, you don't go acha harayv, because hamitzi mechaveir olav araya, there's a minority of people that purchased for slaughtering, and therefore you could say it, for slaughtering, it doesn't make a difference if it's a gore slaughtered, and it's not going to gore anymore. Now, on that, the Gemara asked, Amai. The Gemara wants to understand this whole halacha of the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Why is it a situation of doubt where Shmuel could say that it's l'shchita mechartiv, amitza mechaber l'varaya? But v'nechzi, let's see. Igavra dezavin l'radya. If the guy who bought the ox, he bought for plowing, or igavra dezavin l'nechzasa, or if he's a guy that buys for slaughtering. If he's a sheikhit to be slaughtered, we know he bought it for shchita. If he's a guy who has a plantation, he has a field, so obviously he's buying it for plowing. What is this like? We have a doubt, we don't know. So Rav could say mekech toy, Shmuel could say that, no, we don't go after the Rav. What do you mean? We could just, let's find out what was the reason for his purchase. So the Gemara is loitzricha, no. The case that they would be disagreeing about is begavra dezavon l'ha l'ha. We're talking about a guy that he buys for both. He sometimes slaughters meat, and sometimes he has for working on his field. You're right, if we know for sure that this is what he bought it for, then you won't say mutzim mechabel v'ra'i, and they would be able to get his money back. We're talking about a guy who buys for both. But the Gemara still asks, v'nechsi, but let's see. How much money did he spend? an ox for plowing is worth much more than an ox for slaughtering, because slaughtering, you don't need to have a strong animal. You don't need one that could have sustainability, to have resilience. You don't have to have any of those qualities. So if he spent the type of money that's for plowing, so you know it's for plowing. If he spent the type of money that it's for slaughtering, so you know if it's for slaughtering, what's this whole question all about? So the Gemara says, the case talking about the ikur bisra, the price of meat went up, and it was talking about that it was the same price for the expensive type of ox that costs for plowing. And that's why you can't tell by how much the purchase price was, because it actually equal the amount of meat as it is for the amount of plowing. Now, the Gemara asked, however, if that's the case, Amri, they said to ask, as we continue on Talmud Beis, that what's really then the difference between Rav and Shmuel? As the Gemara says, if the meicher, the seller, has no monies to collect, that the seller could go ahead and get his monies back, why then is there really any difference between Rav and Shmuel? Why does Rav say it's a mekach toyes, it's the sale, it's void? In other words, that he gives the shirt back to the seller and he gets his, and he would, and what? If the seller has no money, lishka le'tura bezuzi, let the purchaser take the ox for money. In other words, let him hold on to the ox for compensation purposes. In other words, like, yeah, you're going to give back the ox to get back your money. So if he doesn't have money, you would want to get some type of compensation. Keep that ox itself for the compensation. Because the Amri Inshi, like the common phrase that people say is, Mimari Rash Vasach, from the man that you're trying to collect from your debtor, Pa'ari Ephra. Then even if he gives you bran, you should take it. Because you don't know if you're going to get anything else. You'd just be happy you're getting paid. So therefore, essentially, the Gemara's question is, then what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? According to Shmuel, no, you can't get your money back. You have to keep your acquisition of the ox. According to Rav, what's the big deal that you're calling it a mekach toyes? If the seller has no money, so anyway, you're going to want to get something for compensation. So even if he gave you bran, you would take that for compensation. The ox is no less than that, and you'll use that, and then you could sell that and utilize that for compensating yourself for the money that you spent on the ox that you don't want, because it's a gor. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, you're right, loy tzricha, no, the case would have to be talking about another qualification of this case that they're disagreeing about, which again, we said one qualification is that it has to be that the prices are the same. He's the type of person that buys for both Aridya and for Nechsasa. Another case that would be necessary for this machlekes of Rav and Shmuel is the ikalish to lumimine, that there obviously is money by the seller to be able to collect from him. Well, that's their machlekes. Rav amahareza mekech tois. Rav says, it's a mistaken, it's an erroneous purchase. Why? Because Zilbasa Rubo, we always go after the majority. For Ruba de Inchila Rajhu Dizavni, the majority of people purchase oxen for plowing purposes, and a Sharnachin you can't use for plowing, and therefore it's a mistaken and it's a void, and therefore he gets his money back. Ushmul Amr, no. The seller could tell him, no, I sold it to you for slaughtering. But Loyaz Lina Basaruba, and we're not going to go after the majority. Why? So Shmuel explains. Because ki has lina basaruba, when do we go after the majority? That's bi'isura, that's by prohibitory law, when you say, regarding is this kosher, is it not? Abba loyaz lina basaruba. But regarding monetary law, then we don't go after the majority. Why? Rather, Ella, and that's what we had started this conversation about, because we're coming to say, what did Shmuel mean when he said, the chacham hold the dekha gadol bedin? El ha-moitzi mechavera olav haraya. That's a huge halacha, which means to say that even the majority would dictate that it should be a mekach tois. Still, if you want to get your money back from the seller, you want to be moitzi mechavera, olav haraya, you have to prove that the purchase was for ridya, for plowing, and not for nechsasa. And until you could prove that, then the seller could hold on to the money, even though only minority of the people purchase it for slaughtering. Now, returning to the beginning that the Gemara started off with, this qualification of Shmuel, that the halacha of our Mishnah is totally in the machlek, is only like Sumchas and not like the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Tana Mahachi, we learn the Brisa like the way Shmuel said, Shar Shanagach has Apara, Venimsa Urba Betzida. The halacha of our Mishnah, if an ox gores a cow and you find a dead fetus on the side, then Yedin, it's not known Imach, Loyinacha Yalda, Imishanacha Yalda, if it wasn't until it was gored that it was born, meaning it was born before. Or if it was born after the goring, and therefore meaning it was killed because of the goring. Halacha is Misham Chatzinezik Lepar, so half Chatzinezik is paid for the cow itself. Verevinezik Levlad, and the child, the fetus, which is endowed, so then you're going to give only half of the half, which is a quarter. That's Divrei Sumchas. Chacham Aymrim, they disagree. Someone wants to collect, he has to bring proof, and therefore until there's proof, the owner, the ox, doesn't have to pay nothing for the vlad that which we found as dead. Now, regarding this halacha of the chacham who disagree with the halacha of our Mishnah, Amr b'Shmuel ben Nachman, he says, "Minayin lahamitzim mechaveh all over." Where do we know this halacha from? That if someone wants to collect from his friend, the proof is incumbent upon him. So he says, "Shenem," like it says the pasuk in Shemais. And this pasuk is when Moshe Rabbeinu was going up to Har Sinai, so he was leaving the Jewish people for some time. So he said, "Velazakeinu amar shvulon bezeh." To the elders, he said, "Stay here ad hashanoshav aleichem, v'hine aron b'churi mochem. Don't worry, I'm leaving you in good hands. You'll have people to ask questions to." And he concluded that sentence by saying that mi bal devarim, whoever from you is a man of words, meaning that he's a claimant, he's coming to claim something against his friend, yigash aleihem, he should bring it to them, to the sages, who to ask their questions to. Says Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, it means yagish roi aleihem, it means he has to bring and present his proof to them, meaning the claimant is the one that the onus of the proof is on him to be able to collect what he's claiming. Now, Maskevel Rav Ashi, he asks, Halam Alikra, why do you say that the source of a Mitzvah Mechaber Elav Arayi is this Pasuk? What do you need a Pasuk for? Sivaruhu, it's logical. For things that are logical, you don't need a Pasuk. The Koiv Lekiva, if somebody has something that's hurting him, that's bothering his body, Azul Abayasya, he goes to the doctor. In other words, if someone has a claim, of course he has to be the one that proves it. You have to be able to fix what's bothering you, and therefore, what do you need a Pasuk for? Of course, the onus of the proof is not on the defendant, but the claimant. So Ella rather, says Rav Ashi, Kra l'kadrib Nachman om Rab Baravua. The pasuk is for something else. That's logical, of course, if someone wants to collect. Oh, you owe me money. Oh, really? Yeah, you prove you don't owe me money. What does that mean? Of course not. It's of course the claimant has to. Rather, the pasuk is teaching a different halacha. Dumb Rav Nachman om Rab Baravua, he says, Minayin she'in is kokin, ela l'taveyat chila. Where do we know that we address the claims of the claimant first? Meaning, for example, let's say Reuven is claiming something from Shimon regarding a certain amount of money that he lent him. Now, Shimon responds when he's brought to court. He says, "Wait a second, I owe you money for the loan that you gave me. You grabbed away something from me. Actually, you give me back what you took from me." Or let's say he says, "What do you mean? I owe you money? I gave you collateral for the loan, and you actually ruined that collateral because you had utilized it. So you give me first what you ruined from me." So that's what Rav Ashi says the pasuk is teaching, that we first address Reuven, the claimant's claim first, and we take away the money that was the loan which Shimon had borrowed from Reuven. Then after we do that, then we address, okay, Shimon, you had a claim too. We then address regarding this, that he claims that Reuven grabbed away something from him, or the collateral that he said that he gave to Reuven. That, where do we know that halacha from? That's Rav Ashi says, Shenema mibal devarim yigash aleihem. Whoever is the claimant should yigash, the term of coming near, should come to them, which is yagash devarim aleihem, that he should present, he should address his words to them, meaning we first address his claim, and only then do we address the defendant's claim. But we don't first address the defendant if he's not the first one that came with the claim. But again, regarding Hamotzi Mechabel of Raya, that we don't need a pasuk according to Rav Ashi. Now, however, Amri Nardai, the Nardai said, Pa'amim sheniskakin lenitvatchila. There are times, however, that are exceptions to this rule, and we do address the defendant's claim first. Vehechitami, what would that case be talking about? The kozili nichse, where his properties are going down in price. In other words, where there's two interpretations in Rashi. Either that there are consumers that want to pay a very high price for what he claims the claimant had taken away from him, and he wants to be able to sell it to them. But he says, "What do you mean? You're coming to claim the loan that you lent me? What do you mean? You grabbed away this thing from me, and I want to be able to sell it, and tomorrow they're leaving. I'm going to lose out a huge sale." Or it'd be talking about that actually all his properties are going down in price because everyone knows that there's a claim out there that someone's taking him to court, where everyone sees that he's pressed for money. Now, but however, if we'll address first his claim, that he says that Reuven had grabbed away something from him, or the collateral that that Reuben has of his, that he could be able to sell that, and then he'll be able to pay up others from that, and then the rest of his land will not go down. So that's the case which, we would first address, because of the extreme extenuating circumstances of the defendant, we'd first address his claim, and only then address the claim of Reuben regarding the loan that he says was outstanding for that Shimon owes him. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said the other way around. And so too, if the cow gores the ox, now then we find on the side of the cow a dead, that we find on the side the fetus. So then we're not sure if the fetus was part of the cow when it gored the ox, and therefore it would be party to the liability of the damages done to the ox, or the fetus, which is on the side, was born beforehand. It was a separate entity at the time the cow gored the ox, and therefore it's not going to be party to the liability of the damage to the ox. So said the halacha of the Mishnah, as we said, like sumchis, where okay, that's it's a suffix, and therefore a moment is going to be chalkum, we'll collect instead of half the damages as we do from a sher tam, like we do from the cow, it's only going to be a quarter of the damages from the vlad. Now the Gemara asked a question which we alluded to in the Mishnah already. Chatzi nezek v'revi'a nezek comes out. You said you're collecting half the damages from the cow and a quarter of the damages, which essentially that's all the damage minus a quarter, you're saying you're going to collect from the two, from the cow and from the child, from the fetus. And that the Gemara's question is, why? We're talking about a shur tam and palkin nisku hu deba yishlume, and regarding the chatzi nezik, which the cow or whatever is part of the damages have to pay and not more than that. And here, kuli niska neche riva, here, all of the damages, minus a quarter, you're making him liable to pay. Maya vidite, what does that have to do with anything? Why would we make the mazikin, let's say we call that the damagers, the cow and its fetus, one of them we're not sure if it's party to it or not, to pay three quarters of the damages, half plus a quarter, when it's a short time, the short time only has to pay chatzi nezik. So Amabai, he says, you're right. Chatzi nezik that we learned in the Mishnah, that we're making the parah have to pay, the cow itself, that's actually half of the tashlumin, which was incumbent upon the cow if there was no child, because we said it's a shor tam, only has to pay chatzi nezik. Now we're saying actually only has to pay echad me'arba benezik. It only has to pay one quarter of the damages, meaning when we're saying chatzi nezik, meaning the damage which was owed of chatzi nezik, it's only half of that the cow has to pay. The reason being is because the cow has a partner, as the Gemara is shortly going to explain this, where the fetus is owned by another person. So therefore, the cow could say, not the cow itself, but in halacha, that I'm only half. There were two partners that damaged this ox. There was the cow and there was the fetus. So therefore, the chatzi nezik, which is owed by the damagers, only half of that is owed by the shor. So therefore, he only has to pay half of the chatzi nezik, which is going to be a quarter of the nezik. Now, the revi'a nezik, and this that we learned regarding the vlad, that the vlad has to pay a quarter of the damages, it means a quarter of the chatzi nezik, which a shor tam is liable, if let's say the only one that gored was the vlad, which that actually ends up being echad mishmoy de benezik, one-eighth of the damages, as the Gemara is going to explain the reason for that halacha. Because since as a party to half of the damages, and the damage itself is only, you only have to pay chatzi nezik, so a quarter is paid by one partner, which is the shirt, which is the par itself, and a quarter possibly is owed by the other partner, which is the vlad, but since it's a suffix, so we're going to split that quarter into half, which is only going to be an eighth. So actually the shur, the owner of the shur, is not going to get even chatzi nezik. He's going to get less than chatzi nezik. So as the Gemara explains, the par of vlad chad ninu. Now, if the cow and the fetus was owned by the same owner, so hachanami, you're right, in such a case, the matzi amale labal par, the owner of the ox could tell the owner of the cow, look, miman of shach, whatever it is that your desire is, chatzi nezik havli, you still owe me half the damages. I don't care if there was a vlad, there wasn't a vlad, it doesn't make a difference. If the vlad was, so then it's part of yours. If it wasn't a vlad, it's just your cow. Either way, you owe me chatzi nezik. Ela leit tzricha rather explains Abaye, the case is talking about the par d'chad uvlad d'chad, where the cow was owned by one person and the fetus was owned by another person. For example, in the case where somebody sold the cow except for the fetus, where he held on to the rights of the fetus, so it's owned by two different people. Now, moreover, says Abaye, If the owner of the ox had first gone to the owner of the cow to claim for the damages, then Hachinami says Abai, then there also you're right. The Amalei Labal Param, then the owner of the ox could tell the owner of the cow, Paradi Dach Aziksa. I know your cow damaged my ox. Havli Raya De Islach Shutfi, you have to bring me proof that you had a partner. Meaning, in such a situation, if the owner of the ox had gone straight to the owner of the cow, for sure the owner of the cow would have to give chatz nezek, and to the contrary, the onus would he would have to prove that the fetus was still in the cow at the time of the damage to exempt himself from the full chatz nezek and to make it down only to a quarter of the nezek, because the chazaka was that the cow was what damaged the ox, and that for sure he knows that was damaged. You want to say that there was another damager, you have to bring proof that there was a vlad in there too. However, el de kodem tavi labal vlad tchila, but the case that we're talking about is that he went and he first claimed that he first went to the owner of the fetus first. The amal, it's where, and then he went to the owner of the cow. So he went to the fetus and says, look, you were party, you have to give me, and then he goes to the cow. That's where the amal lay, that's where the owner of the cow, and that's the halacha of our Mishnah, could tell to the damaged party, to the owner of the shur, wait a second. Galus adaitich deshut feisli. You revealed your understanding that I have a partner, because you first went to the owner of the vlad. So you obviously understand that my ox, my cow was only half of the damages. And therefore, I only owe you a quarter of the damages, which again is half of the tashlumen, which is chatzi nezek. Now, that's why he pays a quarter. But the owner of the fetus still tells the owner of the ox, you're right. If for sure my fetus was together, was not born yet at the time of the goring, so I'm a partner and I'm liable to you a quarter of the damages. But now that it's a doubt, we don't know if my fetus was born yet or not. So therefore, I'm going to pay you only 1/8 of the damages, which is half of the quarter nezek, and that's why actually the owner of the ox is going to be getting less than chatzi nezek. He's going to get 1/4 from the owner of the cow, but he's going to get 1/8 from the owner of the fetus. Now, Ikedami, those say a different version in this halacha of Abaya. Afagav the kodem tavi lebal parit chila, that no, even if the owner of the shur goes first to the owner of the cow, still the owner of the cow could push him away and only have to pay a quarter and not all the chatzin nezik. Why? Because the amale, he could tell to the nizik, I know that I have a partner in the damage and therefore I don't have to pay more than half of the half, which is only a quarter. In other words, that the reason being, as Tosi explains, is because the cow, first of all, has a chazaka. The presumptive default position that it was up until we know something changed was that it was pregnant. And therefore we could say that only now that when we see it on the floor is when they gave birth. And therefore Sumchas agrees that since there's two reasons, A, first of all, that the defendant is the muhsik, you want to prove that it was otherwise, first of all, I'm muhsik, and moreover there's what's called a chazaka de gufa. There's also the body of the cow. The presumptive state that it was in up until now was that it was pregnant. So therefore, even there, Sumchas would agree that Amoitz Mechaveru all of Haraya, he has to prove. And therefore, the owner of the cow only has to pay a quarter. In other words, as if he definitely had a partner. But however, to be able to collect from the owner of the fetus, there the Chazaka doesn't help. And therefore, the owner of the fetus only has to pay 1/8 of the damages, and the other eighth is going to create a loss for the damaged party, for the shar, for the owner of the shar, and he's only going to collect a quarter and an eighth, not the full chatzin nezik that is owed usually when his ox is gored by a different animal. Now, however, in this interpretation of Abaye for the halacha of our Mishnah, Amar Rava, Rava asks, says, Atu echad me'arba benezik ve'echad mishmoyde benezik katani? The way you interpreted, you said that no, the chatzin nezik that we said the cow is going to be liable, and the quarter of the nezik that you said that the vlad is going to be chayiv, you said, no, it doesn't mean from the whole damages. Really, you said that the chatzin nezik is really a quarter, and the revi'ah nezik is really 1/8, because you're saying it's half of the chatzin nezik and a quarter of the chatzin nezik. And that asks Rava, but is that the words in the Mishnah? Does the Mishnah say that the cow gives a quarter and the fetus gives 1/8? No, chatzin nezik revi'ah nezik katani. Ultimately, the words of the Mishnah are that it's half of the damages, not half of the tashlumen. Half the damage is from the cow, and a quarter of the nezek is from the flat. So how can you say it's 1/4 and 1/8, and not 1/2 and 1/4? So Elam Rava, rather Rava gives a different interpretation. says La'olam b'paru uvlad echad. He says no. The halacha is that it's not talking about two different owners. It's talking about that the cow and the fetus are owned by the same owner. And this is the halacha that the Mishnah was saying. Isa l'para, if the cow is around, so mishtal mechatzin nezik mipar. So then, the half of the damages, which is what a shertam, which in this case was a paratam, is going to be chayiv for, is going to be chatzin nezik, and you collect it, as every case of shertam, from the mazik itself. Now, however, as the Gemara continues to top of Zayin Amud Aleph, says Rava b'lesa l'para, but let's say the cow is not there, it got lost. Now, the halacha is, as we said, that a shertam could only collect from the body of the mazik itself, where if, let's say, it gets lost, so then the nizik can't collect anything. Now, so therefore, the nizik, the damaged party, the owner of the ox, tells the owner of the cow, okay, so pay me the whole half of damages that you owe me from the fetus, which is still around, which didn't get lost, which was also party to the hezik that was in the par at the time when it gored my ox. Now, Rava holds, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that the fetus is considered one body with the mother itself, like one of the limbs. So therefore, the halacha is, that's what the Mishnah was saying, not that you collect a half and a quarter. It means to say that from the cow, if the cow is around, so you could collect all your chatzin nezik from the cow. If the cow's not around, then mishtal mrevi nezik mevlad, then you collect a quarter of the damages from the fetus, but the other quarter is going to be lost. In other words, even if the fetus is worth all of the half of the damages of the shor hanizik that was damaged, still, that's the halacha of sumchis and not mishnah, since it's mamon hamutar b'safek, since we don't know if the fetus was part of the cow and the damage or not. So therefore, the chatzin nezik that possibly it does owe and possibly owes nothing, so it's going to be somewhere in the middle, schulkin, which is going to be only a quarter of the damages. Now the Gemara infers, the reason it sounds like the way Rav interpreted this halacha, that it's going to be that it's going to be a quarter from the fetus, is because even though the part itself got lost, is because we don't know if it was in the cow when it gored or not. Aval, but says the Gemara, ipshitalon the havavlad ba'ado kinaka. But if let's say it was obvious to us that the fetus was in the cow itself when the cow had gored, and now just the cow got lost, the mishtal mkuli chatzin nezik mevlad, that then we would collect the entire chatzin nezik if the cow is not here from the fetus itself. So the Gemara explains that's because Rava l'tamei. That goes Rava according to his opinion elsewhere. Dama Rava, the Rava said, parasha hazika, when a cow damages something, gaiva mivlada, that you could collect, which the halacha is by sharatam, you have to collect migufa from the cow itself. You could collect, if let's say the cow is not here, from the fetus. My time, what's the reason? Because gufahi, it's considered as part of the mother itself. It's considered as one of the limbs of the animal, and therefore it's like when the whole animal gores, it's not the toenails more than the horns, more than the cheeks, you could collect from the whole animal. The fetus is considered part of that mazik. But in contrast, however, if a chicken damages, then in the then you cannot collect from its egg. My time, what's the reason? Is because pirsha ba'amahu. An egg is something separate, distinct from the chicken itself. It's considered something that comes out of the chicken, but it's not considered part of the chicken, in contrast distinction to the fetus of the cow, which is a living thing. It's part of it, that is going to be considered as part of it and could be collected from it. Contrast, however, by if let's say it's the first few times of the chicken gore damaging, then you wouldn't be able to collect from the egg.